Hey, this is Ryan Miller. I'm the lead pastor of Local City Church. Welcome to our podcast. I hope this talk encourages you, inspires you, and reminds you that there is always hope. That this is just the beginning of a conversation between you and Jesus. Thank you for joining us today. Enjoy the message.
Yeah, my name is RJ. I'm one of the pastors here at Local City Church, and I'm excited to wrap up our collection of talks this week on stories that Jesus told, diving into the parables, these simple stories that hold such significant truth for us. And I don't want to take any time. I want to dive right in. The conversation for today is called A Kingdom Accountant. And I called it that because the subheading for this particular scripture that we're going to study in my Bible, says the cost of being a disciple. And I think for us, it's good to read the Bible sometimes with that accountant mindset, right? I'm gonna see what's coming in, see what's going out, take inventory, check stock, see where the influence or the money or the significance is, and check things and balance them and, you know, kind of work things out, maybe check twice and ask other people's input and then give direction to other people in different departments. And it's such an integral role in any business. And I think as we read scripture, it's important to do some of those same things, especially when we read a scripture like we're going to read today in Luke chapter 14, that on the surface is kind of loaded. And as you read it, if you're like me, you read these two verses and it stops you in your tracks. It's an interesting verse that Jesus shares as he's walking along and traveling with these large crowds, kind of leaning in on him and hearing wisdom or asking for healing or guidance or direction. Jesus turns and says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. That's a tough couple of verses there when you read it for the first time. You're like, whoa, what does this mean? And so what I want to do is take us on a little journey of really diving into a tough scripture or a challenging statement from Jesus and see how the Bible helps us work that out. What can we do, taking into account all things and looking at every category and grappling with and checking twice and looking in that accountant mentality of what is Jesus saying here? What's the wisdom ethic? What's the little nugget? What's the crowd intended to hear when Jesus says this statement? And there's a lot of things that we can do with that. I think it's important to look at the context. Who is he saying it to? Or the history, the time period that he's saying it in. Look at the original language and see, is this word or words nuanced? Or is there more meaning here? Have I asked other people's opinions? Are other scriptures that have the same topic? And most importantly, have I asked the Holy Spirit to reveal something to me? What are you saying to me, God, in this scripture? And so we're going to go on a little journey and do that today, but I want to do the last part first, which is invite the Holy Spirit into the conversation, because I don't want my opinion to be what comes out of this. I want revelation from God to be what comes out of this. So let's pray and invite the Holy Spirit in. Lord, you're already here. You're so great and mighty and powerful. Thank you so much for all that you've done for us, all that you continue to do. And as we open up your word today, Father, we just pray revelation, that you would continue to work in our hearts, Father, towards us being more full and complete and whole, because that's what we believe you want for us. And so, Father, help my opinion not to reign, but help your name to reign and be elevated above all. Help wisdom and revelation come forth, and help us to grow closer to you today, to leave challenged and changed. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 So obviously, you know, let's talk about the elephant in the room. The first thing I do, or we should do when we're looking at this particular scripture, is there any words that just pop? And for me, that word hate, it just stops you in your tracks, right? Jesus says, if anyone comes to me and doesn't hate basically everybody close to them, you can't be my disciple. And so a word study, diving in and looking at this particular word, there are a few different words that he could have used for hate, and some of them are stronger, and this can mean hate, but typically this particular word that he uses in the Greek, it means to hold something as higher than other things, or hold to love something less than other things. So for example, what I think he's trying to communicate here with this particular word of hate is, hey, if you love me and the relationship that I want to have with you, if you hold that as lower than anything else, then really, I don't know what we're doing here. Because at the end of the day, I have to be, our relationship has to be at the highest spot in your life. It's a moral choice that you have to choose to elevate me above everything else. And so there is some nuance here to that word, but also in addition, it's good to know, hey, let's take a step back. What was Jesus doing right before he makes this statement to these people? And we catch Jesus a couple of verses before this, actually at a dinner party with a Pharisee and some people, and he's sharing some wisdom with them, and he tells a story that leads right into this statement that he shares with the crowd. And that story is a parable. So let's take a look in Luke 14:16. Jesus says, a certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, come, everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, I've just bought a field. I must go see it. Please excuse me. Another said, I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen. I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. Still another said, I just got married, so I can't come. The servant came back and reported this to the master, and the owner of the house became angry and ordered the servant, go out into the streets and alleys of the town, bringing the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame. Sir, what you ordered has been done, but there is still room. The master told his servant, so go out to the roads and the country lanes, compel them to come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who are invited, though, will get a taste of my banquet. So we get this very interesting parable, this story of this banquet, this person that invites people in to this special moment, this dinner, and a lot of different responses come from that. We see three in particular of the many that were invited give the man in the story excuses. The first one bought a field and needs to go see it. The second one bought 5 yoke of oxen and needs to go try them out. And the last one just got married. And so as we key into that word excuses, we think about these people avoiding or refusing or declining. And I wonder if Jesus is not using this parable to inform the statement that he's about to share with the crowd. The first person says, I just bought a field, I need to go see it. With this particular statement, I wonder if this person is refusing and declining the invitation to the banquet for an opportunity or for potential. The picture that I get in my mind is this person is saying like, oh, thank you so much for the invite. Thank you so much for inviting me to the banquet. But right now, I've got this thing, this opportunity, just it's right in front of me and I can't give it up. So I'm so sorry. Please excuse me. I can't come. I got to take advantage of this. This idea that there's opportunity, there's something tangible, there's a revenue, there's a business, there's a thing that just, oh, if I miss this, I don't know what will happen. So please excuse me from the banquet. And I wonder here if I can get really deep for just a moment and maybe ask us some questions. Is what we're seeing here with this avoiding or excusing something that we can apply? Is there a next step in our lives that we might have been called to take that we're avoiding, thinking there's a better opportunity out there than the banquet that we're being invited to? The second person buys 5 yoke of oxen, and he's on his way to try them out. Please excuse me. I see here this lure of the experience. I just got this thing. I want to go to your banquet, but I got to try this first. Can't I just do this thing first and then I'll come to the banquet that you're inviting me to? I think the question for us here is there anything that I own that I'm refusing to acknowledge actually owns me? Am I refusing this banquet because I want to try that. Joshua 23:24 says, throw away the foreign gods from among you and yield your heart to the Lord. The last one's a little different. It's a little more layered. This person, I think it's funny. He just says, I just got married. I'm not coming. Right? I'm so sorry. I have a field. I have oxen. I just got married, bro. I'm not going to be there. But I think what we can pull out from this is this idea of, yeah, there's stuff and there's things and experiences and opportunities, but there's also relationships that are so important to us. And the invitation to the banquet is stacked right up against those relationships. And the question here is, are there priorities that we've set that we've declined to revisit with the Holy Spirit? Maybe it is a relationship. Maybe it is a field or an ox or something opportunity-wise or something tangible. But at the end of the day, what I think we have to examine here is, am I quenching the Holy Spirit when I get an invite to the banquet and the master is extending this opportunity to me and saying, please come be a part of this? And I go, but I just, can I, will I? Are there things that God's asking me to address that I'm just not going to do? And I think that's kind of the layered portion here is, well, everybody else has the same response. Please, I'm so sorry. Please excuse me. I'm not coming. I know I've done this where I just feel like the Holy Spirit is speaking something to me and like, hey, you need to do this thing. And I go, I'm not doing it. I mean, if we're being real honest, like, are there things, are there moments that I can circle back to in God's graciousness and revisit with him and say, hey, I know I've said no every time you've told me to do this thing, but humble me and let me say yes now? Those three questions are really powerful, and it's not something that maybe there's blanks, but not something that you're prepared to fill out right now. But I would just challenge you throughout the week as you have your quiet time to ask those questions. And maybe none of these questions are for you. Maybe it's one. Maybe it's all three. I don't know. But I think all of them are really good, honest questions to check your heart all the time. Is there a next step that I've been called to take that I'm avoiding? Is there anything I own that I'm refusing to acknowledge actually owns me? Is there priorities that I've set that are out of alignment with God's Spirit, and I'm just saying no, for whatever reason? I think it's important to note, though, that God continues to send his servant out. There's a continual pressing of this desire to see at the end, no, my heart is that my house would be full. I don't want to wag my finger at people and say, oh, you said no to the invite, you can't come. No, I want people to come. I'm going to send a messenger. I think in this particular story, that servant is Jesus, but he also sent prophets, and now he's sending pastors. He's got friends, his Holy Spirit. There's lots of opportunities in the Word as you read it to be reminded, hey, you're invited to the banquet. It's not too late to say yes yet. God so loved the world that whosoever believes, God's not slow in keeping his promise. He doesn't want anyone to perish, but all to be moved to repentance. See, taking a step back and looking at what comes before, looking at this parable helps us flesh out this idea in Luke 14:25. Okay, what is Jesus talking about here? Even better than that, you could do some parallel study. Okay, I see this phrase about hating father and mother. Is any that said anywhere else? And then we see and we can jump right into Mark 10. Not only is the same topic discussed, but it's discussed in a practical application way. Instead of a story, Jesus shows us a guy who's walking this out. And in Mark 10, verse 17, it says, as Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees. Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? You call me good, Jesus answered, but no one's good except God alone. You know the commandments. Don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't give false testimony. You shall not defraud, honor your father and mother. Teacher, I've done all these since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack. Go sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and then you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. What I see here in this story is Jesus inviting someone to the banquet, and priorities are out of alignment. He's taking something and holding it above the invitation from the Savior. And it doesn't make him bad. It makes him human. We've all been there. But I can just imagine the emotional tension of Jesus looking at him and loving him and wishing he would accept the invitation and watching him walk away. Because he knows that it's not just about what he's giving up, that there is something that he's gaining at the same time. You see, the story goes on, and Jesus starts talking to the disciples about this situation. How hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God? It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who's rich to enter the kingdom of God. Why? Because But the disciples were amazed and said to each other, well, Jesus, who then can be saved? We've all got our priorities out of alignment all the time. He looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. So Peter spoke up, and this is it. We have left everything to follow you. Truly, I tell you, Jesus replied, no one who has left home or brothers or sister or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, fields, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. I think this last paragraph is where Jesus kind of highlights this idea that, hey, A, this is a heart posture thing. I'm not about you hating your mother and father. I'm not about you walking away from fields or from marriages or from oxen. Those are good things inherently. But when you get your priorities out of alignment and those things become this tension moment between listening to me and walking with me daily and becoming the priority, then we have a problem because I love you and I don't want you to walk away sad and miss the invitation. Because as we see in this story, you could follow all the rules and miss the banquet. Like, you can hit all the commandments and do all the big stuff, and Jesus is like, that's just water down the stream from the fountain of, is your heart right? Like, he's obviously worried about people murdering, committing adultery, and stealing, and things like that, but at the end of the day, he wants your heart, not just checking boxes or doing tasks or completing assignments. And here we have Jesus saying, no one who leaves those things and gets their priorities in order will fail to receive anything. We see this in the Sermon on the Mount. If you pursue the kingdom and its righteousness, all these things will be taken care of. It might not be like your plan and what you think is going to happen in your head, but there'll be grace on it to get you through today and then tomorrow and then the next day. And what you need will be provided. There's so many testimonies from this church that I could rattle off right now about people that quit one job and started another and had no idea or walked away from a relationship and then found another because of the community, because of the church. Because as we're walking this out together, we build and strengthen one another up. And all of a sudden, I didn't know how this job or this opportunity or this new business was going to start. And then this person at church said this, and this person at church helped me with that, and then this person here. And all of a sudden, I had these brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers coming out of nowhere, and I felt like I was at home, and I felt like there was opportunity that I never would have experienced if I had not trusted one priority above the rest. My relationship with God and just listening to His Holy Spirit. God's going to take care of it. So, back to our regularly scheduled program. We head back to Luke 28, and now we get to see Jesus give some examples here after this heavy statement. The first one is building a tower. He says, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? And if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees you will ridicule you and say, this person began to build and wasn't able to finish. Build your tower. I say maybe build your life. You got to count the cost. What's the first lesson from the parable? If I'm living in this mindset of like watching what's coming in, watching what's going out, double checking the numbers, accounting for everything, taking a look at this, taking a look at that, making sure that everything's going where it needs to go and all the priorities are remaining in alignment. Oh, that got out of alignment. Let me go back to God and ask some hard questions and really wrestle this out for Him. I got to count the cost. How do you answer the three questions from earlier? Are you willing to do the thing that you're avoiding? Are you willing to acknowledge things that might have a greater hold on you than you want to admit? Are you willing to revisit some things with the Holy Spirit and engage in the work that results from those interactions? Going to build a tower, you think about the materials and the prices and the suppliers and all of the things that go into it. I'm asking you to think about that. Number two, you examine the plans. All right, first I got to build the foundation, and then from here's where we go. Well, God has given us, thank God, a plan. It's called the Bible. And he's given us people to work out those plans with in the community of the church. So I've got to lean on people. I've got to get in his word. I've got to look at what the words mean. I've got to Google some commentaries. I've got to read, okay, this is in all three of the four. God, let me read all three stories. Let me do this. Let me do that. Let me really think about the foundation that I'm laying. How much am I willing to invest in the walk that I'm being committed to or say I'm committed to? Jesus gives one more example. He says, suppose you want to build a tower. How about this? Suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Won't he first sit down and consider whether he's able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he's not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and ask for terms of peace. In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything cannot be my disciples. Some people will tell you life feels like a war sometimes. It's a struggle. If I'm going to battle, if I'm really trying to walk this thing out, if I'm really trying to lean in and listen to the Holy Spirit and not just white knuckle it and manipulate it and do it my way, but really be submitted to his will, hoping and believing that wholeness and fullness is what he has for me, then I've got to strategize for my strengths and my weaknesses. I've got to know, hey, what's out there? What gets me every time? What am I doing about it? Where am I strong and I can actually find purpose and join into the community here and do something to help those around me? Where are my blind spots? Can I get a mentor? Can I take a personality test? Can I read the word more around specific ideas that I'm struggling with or things that I'm facing? Counseling. Grading yourself, giving yourself, picking five areas of your life and giving yourself a report card and saying, all right, if I'm really here in finances, okay, if I'm really here in relationships, if I'm really here in technology, am I really here in marriage, what am I doing to get better? What am I doing to invite God into my journey towards growth and fullness and wholeness? And then lastly, you assess your priorities. Those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples. And all of your priorities, amongst all of your other opportunities and experiences and relationship, where is your relationship with Jesus? Not doing religious stuff, not doing good deeds, not charity, not giving money, not box checking, all of that stuff will come and Jesus will tell you what you need to do and when you need to do it. But your relationship and walk with him daily, how are your priorities ordered? This is a large crowd. Jesus right now is saying to us, if anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And all of the different ways that we've looked at maybe fleshing this out, I hope that lands in a different way. Maybe still as shocking, but not quite as literal as earlier. And I would just say right now, at this particular moment, if you've never gotten that accountant mentality to assess priorities and see where things are coming and going and how you need to prioritize or arrange, and you've never put Jesus first, I want to give you an opportunity to do that. Or maybe it's been a long time since Jesus has had that first slot in all of the priorities, and you need to take a step back and just have a moment with him right now. So with every head bowed and every eyes closed, you could be thinking about those questions now. You could be taking those with you. You could be thinking about inventory and priorities and flow. But if you want to say yes to Jesus for the first time, and you want to give him your life, and you say, you know what? I think I'm going to accept the invitation to the banquet today. Or maybe you had an excuse earlier today when you walked in and you're saying, you know, I think that field can wait for later. I'm going to go to the banquet. And so on the count of three, if that's you and you want to say yes to Jesus or you want to just reprioritize today and God is doing something in your heart right now through the power of his Holy Spirit, I just want you to raise your hand. I think it's just good to have an outward physical representation of what God is doing on the inside. Not to embarrass anybody, nobody's looking around. This is between you and God. But on the count of three, if that's you and you just need to do that today and carry that into your week and ask yourself these questions, just raise your hand. I can pray for you. We can pray for you. We're going to have the prayer team up front too. Maybe you need prayer later. On the count of three, 1, 2, 3. You just need to reprioritize. The field, the oxen, everything, it can wait. Jesus, you're the name that reigns above it all. If you would just pray this with me. Dear Jesus, I give you my life. You're back in the priority. You're back in the first place. I trust you. Father, I just pray for strength and for faith right now in the room, for people to be courageous, to ask hard questions, to do work with the Holy Spirit, to wrestle in their quiet time with the plans and the purposes that you have for them, to give back, but also to be poured into. Father, to trust in you, to know that you've got it, you're going to take care of it. And so, Father, right now, like I said, I just pray for courage and strength for people to take next steps, to have hard conversations, to trust in you, to seek guidance from your word, to be a part of community, and to experience the fullness and the wholeness that you have for them, to say yes to the banquet, Lord. It's in your name that we pray, the mighty name of Jesus. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Local City Podcast. I want to encourage you to take the message you just heard and allow it to go deeply into your heart. Let Jesus do the deep work that only He can do. A special thank you to everyone who gives to Local City Church. Your generosity makes this podcast possible and creates life change for so many people. You can be a part of spreading this message by going to localcity.church/give. You can also subscribe, rate, and share this message with your family and friends. Thanks again for listening. God bless you. Have a great day.